Chicago Cowans. Today is June 15th, 1972. I have with me today Mr. Bruce Johnson of Essexville. And today we would like to talk about shipping on the Great Lakes and the shipping industry in the Bay City and Saginaw area. Mr. Johnson? A
couple of 3 years.
What shipbuilding yard was that at the time?
The American building. American shipyard.
What type of work did you do there?
Bolting up. I bolted the place in, helped to bolt the place in to hold them there until they were riveted.
How long were you working there? You said 3 years, about a couple years?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years.
What were some of the things that you recall about shipbuilding that interested you the most?
Well, in the first place, the first boat they launched in the American Shipbuilding Company launched it endwise, and it went across the river and right into the lumber yard where everybody was up on top of the lumber piles watching the ship coming in from the other side. See? And they didn't realize that how far it was going, and the lines and nothing would hold it, and she turned right over into the shipyard there, into the lumber yard, and I don't know how many people was hurt, but there were several people hurt or near drowned.
What type of boats were you building at the time?
Not lumber carriers, bulk freight carriers.
Were these were wood boats or steel boats?
Steel boats. And from 500, they were just beginning to get in 550 foot length, I'd say.
And what else do you recall, some of the most memorable experiences that you had as working in a shipping house?
No, only one that wasn't interesting. When I and my partner were sitting alongside of each other, resting, taking a five, when I all at once I see my partner go like that, and I waited for him to get up, he didn't, and I looked, and he had a rivet tongue stuck in the handles first, right into his head.
I worked at a shipping yard down to Foz for 7 months as a welder, and what do you think are some of the big differences about the shipbuilding yard of today compared to those of yesterday? We talked about a little bit earlier about the conditions of a shipyard. What are the advantages of working in a shipyard today compared to those of yesterday?
Well, the first thing, the tools nowadays, air tools and everything, where before this air hammers, of course it was all hand hammers, and they made pretty good money driving with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they began to get up-to-date machinery and doing it faster. Well, then they wouldn't get as much for a job. And then that's where Union come in and made square data.
You were just saying that you also knew of another experience on a river, but without a boat this time?
Yeah. I'd been in the hospital a few months, and my legs were paralyzed, and I had learned to walk again. And then in March, the ice was going out in the river, and I couldn't stay in the house when the ice was moving down the river, so I went down to the river. It took me half an hour to walk down there, easy half an hour to walk down there, and I walked out on the ice alongside the Cotter's Dock and was watching the heavy, awful heavy current, and everything was going down there shanties and boats and everything going down the river. And I think I turned just a half a turn around like that to go back, and I was right out of sight in the water. And they come up, and my head was sore, it had been operated on, and I come up and bump my head on the ice, and pieces of ice, and one to the other, and I go around the eddies, and I was going down the river, all lickety-scoot, all right down the river, and I was going around the big eddies all the time. It changed from one eddy to another, and I got closer to shore when I got almost down to Kerrville Sawmill, and I seen an edging sticking out from the old slab dock, Boyce's old slab dock, about an inch and a half square, and two sticking out 2 or 3 feet, and I grabbed that as I was going by, and I pulled myself up and pulled myself out, and it took me half an hour to walk down there. I didn't know anything, but I run all the way home, and I got in bed and I didn't even catch cold.
Mr. Johnson, how did you get started interested in ships?
Well, my dad, in the first place, used to take me boat ride in a rowboat. He was a river police, and he took me out on the river. Of course, I was itching to go all the time. The first time I went down to the river, I don't remember that. But the first time I went down to the river, I run away from home. I was back on called Sleepy Wolf, Sherman Street now. And I walked down the river, and I got down to the river, and behind a big pine saw log that was on the shore there. And what I rolled over, but I got behind there anyway. And I couldn't get out. Everybody was looking all over town for me. And then finally somebody said they saw me down the river someplace. And I went down there, and the fella come on, stood on that log, and looked at there I was down there, my diapers around my toe, around my feet. I couldn't get out, I couldn't walk anyway. The water would have come up sooner or later. So boats going by, and I had to get washed in.
Did you say your dad was from England, or was he a ship captain over in England?
No, he was just a sailor.
Sailor over in England.
My grandfather owned a ship line. And that's how he happened to. My father happened to be in a high-toned school.
What kind of ships did your dad work on?
Sailing ships. There's nothing else but that.
And what kind of cargo did they carry at the time, or did they carry cargo?
Oh, whatever they could get on a sailing vessel. Salt, they would have to carry salt for ballast, and all the lumber, go down south and get all kinds of southern lumber, or iron ores, whatever they can get.
Did you ever go with your dad when he went on these trips?
No. When he got married, he left his ship in Canada, finally, and went to work in the woods. And then from the woods, from Canada, he came to Bay City, and he anchored here in Bay City.
And this is how you got really involved and interested in ships, is this correct?
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know. My son's the same way, Jim. He's got a boat of his own. He's seen on a lightning racer, and he was the president of the yacht club.
Also, Earl, you mentioned you've been on the Great Lakes yourself as a sailor.
Me?
Yes.
I was a second cook, yeah.
How long were you on the Great Lakes? How long have you shipped
them? A couple of years. And I don't know.
What were the vessels like in those in your days?
Huh?
What were the vessels like in your days, the ships like?
Well, they were just, well, it wasn't as improved as much as this did. But, yeah, I was in 1913, 14, something like that. And,
you have with you right there a Lake Carriers Association book, is this correct?
There's an identification card.
And every sailor on the Great Lakes at the time had
yeah.
to carry one of these.
Oh, yeah.
What happened if, could you get on the Great Lakes without one of these, or was it possible?
Oh, well, you know, it's possible to. Here's my kind of hardly seen card.
Did, and everyone had to have one of these seaman's cards too.
Yeah. They're waterproof.
What were some of the things you recall sailing on the Great Lakes?
Doing what?
What were some of the most memorable things you can recall while sailing?
It'll take 10 minutes to tell you. But we were on the James B. Colgate. They call them pigs, and they made like a cigar. They call them cigars too, and they're round, built like a cigar, and they're when they're loaded, they're mostly underwater,
mm-hmm.
or just a deck sticking out of water. And we were over in Escanaba, and. And we loaded iron ore. And the captain left in a hurry, and he didn't trim the cargo before he left the dock. And the iron ore was all piled up like that. And we left the dock, and it was way out in the Lake Michigan before they got to tarpaulins battened down good. And when we got into going through the Straits of Mackinac, the northeast wind was picking up. They were getting ready for a gale. And when we got on Lake Erie, Lake Huron, she was rolling, and rolling good. And when I hired on the bridge, I went on the coast on the pig because they told me a pig was so laid on in the water that he didn't roll at all.
Mm-hmm.
When I got sailing, I found out it was the opposite, rolling all the time. And I was coming down towards the Presqu'île Light. Why, it began to take exceptional, getting ready for a good storm, I thought it was. And we got it, and she rolled and so bad that the four fellows and the six men up forward in a little turret. There was no cabins up there, only for the sailors to sleep in. And We come down towards Alpena, and I had it set, Pudner's set, and the captain come down. I was just coming into the dining room. There was 6 or 7 men at the table already with the chief engineer. And I was just coming in with a tray full of stuff, and the skipper said, Bruce, you better take your dishes off the table. He said, we could hardly hold them on as it was. He says, I'm going to try to turn it around. He said, I doubt very much to get be able to turn around. When you turn around, you get behind Thunder Bay Island. And he started to turn around, and she's swayed one way to the starboard, port, then the starboard, then port, and the starboard next time, and she went over, and she went halfway over, and she didn't come back. Well, chief engineer was happened to be sitting at the end of the table. 3 men on each side of him, on the side of the table. When everything on the table come down and covered the captain, the chief engineer up. Well, the men happened to be there, 6 men there, held the cabinet up, and the linen cabinet up that was falling on the chief until he got out of there. And then we left it, everything as it was then. And we had to whistle to launch the boats. And we couldn't get the boats. On the low side was all smashed to pieces already. And the one on the high side, we couldn't get it over. Being a round-shaped boat, we couldn't get it over. So then he got the whistle to launch the boats. The captain come around and he says, boys, he says, too bad, but he says, you better grab a shovel and get down in the iron ore and shovel the iron ore back. Well, you know what the iron ore is, mm-hmm. The old shovels and stuff, and they couldn't get any place anyway. And then they finally got orders to leave the ship. First he started for Canada then. And he wanted to get in the lee of the Canadian shore. And we got over there, and it was in the Kalpraklik, compared to World War I, or smooth water. And she was over and the water was coming in through the kitchen sink and going out of the kitchen door. Every time a big wave would come up over that level, that's what had happened. And the kitchen got a good washing anyway. But I went all the way down to Ashtabula like that. And pumped fast, and she couldn't run away. And she wasn't getting the water, that's all. And it wasn't making any more water, so they took it down to Ashtabula and swung around the dock and got to there. Then they got a crane and come over to unload the coal or ore. And it made fast, and then he got into the cargo hold and took one clam out, and she started tripping over at the dock.
Why did they make these boats if they were unseaworthy, if they rolled over so much? Why did they make them?
Well, it was only a few of them fellas made, and it was a figure to. A new Dooley invented the deal and had several of them made, but they never proved.
You weren't that successful then?
No. They all went to this ocean, and they never heard. Some of them were sold to Oregon, and there wasn't any of them got over there at all.
Did any of these cigar boats turn over all the way completely?
Yeah, this one that I was on did went over the next year, and this. Two or three more of them has rolled over.
Did you find it interesting your first time when you went through the Sioux? Were you excited your first time or?
Sioux?
Yes. Or the Strait and the Straits?
Well, it was most interesting, yeah. There was nothing exciting about it. And
do you recall what boat you were on at the time? First went through?
The name?
The name of the boat.
James B. Colgate. She belongs to Steel Trust.
What type of cargo did you carry at the time? Was it iron ore, coal?
Iron ore and coal.
How about grain or?
Well, sometimes they get grain, they load grain and for storage in the wintertime.
How long did it take you to get through the Sioux?
Through the Sioux?
Through the Sioux, rather.
Oh, I don't know. It was 20 minutes, something like that.
You mentioned also earlier that on some of these boats, you mentioned a tar, where they poured tar on the deck and the sailors.
Oh, that's in the old sailors.
Had to peel it off just to keep busy.
And that was one thing to keep the men busy, keep them out of mischief. Just as soon as they get nothing to do, you know, the shops anyway, just somebody starts a rumor or something, and it's just too bad.
Did you ever have to do that?
Huh?
Did you ever have to do that?
No.
You never had to do that, then. What were the cabins like that the sailors slept in?
I never sailed on the sailing vessel. Uh-huh. Anyway, my dad was on the sailing vessel. He had to do it.
This was on the sailing vessels, not the ship, Great Lake ships. On the Great Lake ships, what were the cabins like, sailors' cabins? Were they small or comfortable or what?
Well, the first, the old barges, they were comfortable, so the men got used to them, of course. And the time I was sailing, they had to have a good change of clothes, your linen and everything, every trip. And the very best to eat, even. You had a Thanksgiving dinner. Well, you had a dinner, I'm telling you.
Was there any passenger traveling at the time on the Great Lakes on these boats? Did it consist mainly of carrying freight, or did they also carry passengers?
Well, some of them carried passengers too, and not much of the captain and his family. Captain could bring his family, or the chief engineer could bring his family, or something like that. But that's about the passengers they carried. They didn't have to have a passenger.
How did a young man go about to get a job on the Great Lakes? What did he have to do in order to become a sailor on the Great Lakes?
Well, you go to Union office, sailors, and tell you where to find your union office, and you go to the union office and make application. When your turn comes, you'll be called.
How long did it take you to get called?
I was called before I knew.
So was it easy for men at the time to get jobs, say like summer jobs, on the Great Lakes?
Oh yes. If you wanted to go sailing, you could go.
There's nothing to hold you back, in other words. How do the ships of the Great Lakes compare in your days to those of today, besides being longer and so on?
Well, I can see.
Were they made of wood at the time, or were they made of steel also?
Steel, all steel. Timber costs so much.
How about the location of the turbines, your engines? Were they all located in the same place?
In the lakes, they were all, the power was all astern. And in these ocean boats, these come in here like it's one in there now. Everything is amidship. And they split up the cargo too much. Cargo, of course, to make it pay. But a lot of these vessels were made short enough. And these ones, what they call emergency fleets up during the war. You don't remember that. They could build a boat in 24 hours.
What was the speed of the ships in those days?
Oh, so 12, 10, 8, 10, 12. And now they're going several knots faster.
How about the size is quite different now too, isn't it? They built them, 400, 500 feet long, and now they're
all 600 now, 700, 800, and there's 1,000 foot now carrying iron ore. No, not iron ore, she's carrying pellets.
Can you recall some of the names of some of the ships that sailed the Great Lakes? What are some of the names of the ships that you can recall? And maybe why you can recall these names? If something happened to them, or...
All the old wooden ships. Like the Langle Boys. And the Orinoco. Davison's boat, Sanders. South American country there.
Were these all Great Lakes ships that carried freight and ore and stuff? The ships that you've mentioned already.
Yeah, well, those were lumber hookers.
Lumber hookers?
Yeah, Langle Boys, Orinoco, the Ottawa. I got them all in here.
I noticed you got a lot of pictures and material that goes way back to 1910. What got you interested in saving all these scrap material from magazines and papers? What got you interested in collecting all these?
It's the same thing. I get every time there's something important in the marine business, pictures, I tear them because get them out and throw them in the drawer.
And you still collect them now?
Yeah.
Notice your book here goes Shipmasters Association Direct, goes back to 1910.
Yeah, I get another one later than that, and another one later than that. The one thing between that is somebody borrowed it, never borrowed it.
They used to call steamboats propellers in your time. Is this correct now?
Well, some people got a notion to speak. Steamboats.
Why would they call them propellers? They didn't have propellers as we know today. Is this correct?
Well, they had propellers then. Yeah, sure they had propellers. But side-wheelers, that's what you were getting at. Yeah, it used to be side-wheelers. And it was four or five of them here in Bay City. Yes, he was.